Hi, I'm Lauv. Welcome to episode one of Breaking Modern Loneliness, something new that I've wanted to do, a podcast of sorts. I'm super honored to have my first guest, MXM Tune, or Maya. Round of applause, please. Are you working out during quarantine?
You know, I went for a 2-hour walk yesterday, and I think that's the most exercise I've gotten generally all year. Okay. So I'm trying to work towards it. Going on walks every evening just to like make sure I at least leave the house. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we're kind of in the same boat because I've been like, I ran one time in this whole thing and I keep saying that. And everybody I know is like, yeah, like I've been doing this, I've been doing that, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, fuck. Like,
I thought I would be like so much better at working out because you have all the time in the world, but it's so much harder to mentally wrap my mind around doing something that's good for me.
Yeah. I feel you. That's actually an interesting one. Yeah, I don't know. I just can't. I used to be so obsessed, actually, with working out when I was younger. Like, I got to, let me think. I don't know. I got to, like, 8th or 9th grade, and I got, like, super self-conscious, and I thought, like, my way of, like, dealing with that was, like, trying to get, like, jacked. And, like, I don't know. It was this really funny thing where I became super obsessed with working out and, like, dieting and all this stuff, and it was, like, throughout a lot of college too. And then I just graduated and I just let it all go. And I was like, I hate this. Like, I don't want to live like this at all. It's not fun.
I've never been one for physical exercise. I think I'm not very competitive. I think the only way that channels in my brain is with video games, but with like sports and stuff, I was always the kid that was like very happy to sit on the side. And then I did dance throughout high school.
I'm sick.
But I think like most of my energy was probably spent into like mental health rather than physical health. It was like the mental care that I tried to like give myself was a lot more exhausting, and I was almost like, if I do something that's physically exhausting for me, is that going to make me feel worse if I'm like on both ends just feeling like I have no more energy left to spend?
So has that always been something that's been a part of your life, just kind of like when you talk about like mental care and stuff, you've always been in tune with that?
I definitely feel like I've become better at focusing on it. It was something that I was trying to figure out for a really long time, having an anxiety disorder and like not knowing what the name was for it, because I didn't get a diagnosis until I was 16. Okay. And so at that point, I'd like been trying to figure out how to deal with stuff on my own. And so like a lot of meditation and mindfulness practices were stuff that I was picking up already because I knew that it helped me, but I didn't know that it was like a whole other thing that was actually scientifically proven to like help out people with anxiety disorder. And it's also been something that's really helpful as my depression has gotten worse over the years. And I think it's always been something at the forefront of my mind, but definitely something I've focused more actively on in the past 2 years, probably. Yeah.
That's so cool though, that you've been in tune with that for a long time. Like, I feel like I grew up in a family like where there's, you know, sorts of mental health struggles around me, and like witnessing that. And now that I look back, actually, I look back at like a lot of my teenage years, and I can like recognize signs of like, oh, like I'm experiencing a lot of this too. And I didn't really like know what was going on. I kind of just always remember like definitely like being such a like anxious sort of need for control type vibe like I really developed. And also just like, I don't know, like I feel like I'd spend a lot of time like, as equally productive as it was like me making music and stuff when I was younger, I feel like I spent so many hours or so many days in my room just like alone, just like crying. And like, I don't know, it was very weird. And I never really talked about it. And I kind of, and then, you know, it ended up developing into this like real serious thing like a year and a half ago that like finally got to a breaking point. And it's like so weird to now have the perspective of like when I was younger, like what that kind of was. So I like, I wish I had those tools when I was younger, but I just, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, my family, everyone has some sort of mental health thing, but it was definitely like not dealing with it was not something that was super prominent. I think a lot of people just shoved it under the rug. Like being Asian American too, like culturally, it's not a thing to talk about what you're going through mentally and like to share that with people. And I mean, my grandparents are like in their 70s now and now finally addressing some of whatever they've gone through when they were younger. And I think I feel really thankful that I was allowed the space when I was younger to kind of navigate what I was going through and give myself the space to make mistakes and not know what was happening necessarily. And then also have resources and tools to figure it out. I mean, like even the way that you present your music and talk about mental health, like to have someone who is at the forefront of just media talking and being honest about their experiences with their brain is really important. Because, I mean, I'm a little bit younger than you, but like the transition, I think, into having more mental health conversations is definitely happening right now. It was like non-existent. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I kind of wonder why that is. Like, I don't know. It wasn't necessarily, yeah, I don't know. I guess maybe just, it was just something that like people, I feel like maybe just didn't have a grasp of like what it, that it's such a serious thing that so many people are experiencing, I guess.
Yeah. I think because it's so invisible, nobody knows where to start with it. It's just hard because you can't tell who's going through it or what it might be. And so people just don't talk about it. Yeah.
Question. This is kind of random, but also related. Have you seen the show The Midnight Gospel?
Oh my God, you're kidding. I literally watched it like 2 days ago. I'm obsessed with it. I watched it 2 times through. I was like fascinated.
It's so cool.
It's so good. Yeah. I was wondering, actually, I was going to ask Max if you had watched it, because it's like, it's right up that alley of like meditation and talking about philosophy and everything. It's so good.
Yeah. It's something I need to finish it. I've watched like the first 4 episodes. It's just so crazy. I mean, the animation paired with like how crazy the dialogue is, and like, I don't know, it's insane. Like, and they're talking about like ceremonial magic, and I was like, I've never really heard of that as an alternative to like meditation and Eastern philosophy and stuff. It's crazy.
I was thinking about that too. I was like, I didn't know that there was a Western practice that was rooted in like the beliefs of Hinduism and Buddhism that like translated to Western ideologies. And when he was like, yeah, I'm just a dude from, is it Alabama or something like that? He was I'm from the South. he didn't understand that. Yeah, that was fascinating.
So fucking cool.
So good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Such a good show. Damn.
Yeah.
I need to finish it.
Oh my gosh. I think the whole concept of like, this is kind of just going off on a tangent, but like Clancy avoiding the real world and going into like a VR situation where he's like interacting with technically fake people and learning about their perspectives is really interesting, because I think in many ways right now we're all in quarantine and trying to figure out how we can connect with people. I know as like an introvert, it's really hard for me to reach out to the people that I love and care about. It's so much easier for me to just kind of sit there and, I don't know, play video games, watch TV shows, watch the Midnight Gospel and think I'm improving upon my thoughts and everything.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just interesting. Mm-hmm.
No, I heavy feel you on that. I feel like when the quarantine first started, like I was so like gung-ho, like, okay, like every single day, like family group FaceTime, like I started FaceTiming people I haven't spoken to in forever and like constantly doing that. And like, I was like, this is gonna be great. Like, this is a great coping mechanism to how crazy this time is. And as I've kind of gotten more and more used to it, I've kind of sunken a little bit back into my old ways, which is something that's always, I don't know, that I think there's been, especially as like the, like my career has gotten crazier, that's been really not good and not helpful, is like my habit of just, I don't know, not paying enough attention and like really consistently connecting with the people that like are important and close to me in life, if they're not physically present right here with me, you know? And even if they are physically present with me, I find myself like sometimes just being way more sucked into like, I don't know, like even just like, I hate saying it, but like just like the stress of my own career and like the anxieties and like, I don't know. And like, it's just such a, this, it's something that like I'm trying to be more and more aware of and to deal with.
I'm right there with you. That was something I was like trying to figure out in therapy for the last year. I was like, I just feel really distant from people, even if I'm sitting right next to them. And when you're working in a job like music where you're traveling all the time, and I'm really new to the music industry of just figuring out what this whole landscape looks like. But it was really weird having to transition into like, you know, a lot of my friends are in college right now and they're in different places around the world. And so for the first year I was hanging out in Oakland still with my family and working from home, and they weren't here. And it was really weird because you're so used to, you get conditioned to the kind of having access to people on a face-to-face basis every single day. And then all of a sudden you don't. And I think a lot of ways, like quarantine right now, my family's experiencing it for the first time where they're like, we're not around our work communities. We don't see our friends. And like, it's a really strange thing to navigate. And it's really hard. And I've been trying to figure it out for the last year and a half. And I've kind of gotten better in some ways and I've gotten worse in other areas. And it's just like, it's a process. And it's something, I mean, like, I totally get it. I'm really bad at texting people back. Yeah. I am really bad at planning FaceTimes. I need like things to be scheduled, but I also don't know how to schedule stuff. So it's just like, it's a never ending thing.
What do you think is like the root of that? Cause I'm always trying to figure it out for myself, is like, why, like I'll find myself like, I won't even necessarily be doing something important, but somebody, like a friend, will FaceTime me, and if I'm not in the exact right mood, I will ignore it. I'm like, what is that?
Like, I know for me, kind of what I've realized with it is that sometimes, like, the turmoil or whatever is happening in my own brain feels like it's too much for myself to take on. And fair. So for me to put that onto somebody else feels really unfair. And I've been trying to rework my framework around it and being like, you know, if someone cares about you and they want to be there for you, they're going to be there for you and they're going to listen. But I know it's, like, so hard for me to mentally wrap my mind around, you know, I think I hesitate sometimes to talk about how I'm doing because it sounds selfish to me. And, like, that's something that stops me from talking to people because I'm like, am I capable of talking about anything else other than the stuff that's hard right now? And is that fair to put on someone else who's probably going through something that's different and also difficult?
Well, not to put you on the spot, but truly, how are you doing? Like what is this experience like for you?
It's been hard. I'm not going to lie. I mean, quarantine has been really difficult. I've had my fair share of cries. It feels like it's cancer season already and it's only April. And, like, I mean, it's just, it's been really difficult. I thought I would be a lot better at navigating it. But, I mean, no one, I think, has an easy time when they're left alone with their thoughts for an extended period of time. And you have to face a lot of stuff that you probably shoved off to the side before all this happened. And so it's just like, it's just time to work on yourself, and that can be really daunting.
What do you think has kind of, like, been the, the hardest? I mean, you don't have to go into too much detail or anything, but what do you, like, whatever you're comfortable sharing, but what has kind of been the hardest stuff for you?
I think for me personally, it's been really difficult not seeing my family members. I think a lot of what's going on with the world has made me think about, although it's really dark, like, mortality and the lifetime that I have and the rest of my family members have. And I think trying to deal with some of the guilt I feel around how I can feel like I've neglected people in my life, and like that feeling of not knowing how to maintain relationships or how to connect with people necessarily, and feeling really bad about that, but also trying to figure out a way to address it productively and be patient with myself, because I know that it's been something that's always been difficult for me. So just kind of trying to figure that out slowly. But
I'm right there with you. I feel like, especially, I don't know, for me, I feel like, for example, with, like, family relationships, even, like, trying to maintain a level of, as you become aware of, like, you know, for example, how your parents are getting older and, like, you know, like, it's so easy when you're distracted to put off, hey, like, I want to be closer to my mom or my dad in this way, but I'm not. And, like, oh, I'll deal with it. I'll deal with it eventually. Like, I'll find the right opportunity. I'll be at, like, something with them, and eventually we'll, like, have that moment and, like, get past this thing. And I don't know. I feel like now it's just sort of like, okay, like, you're going to do this, you know? And I don't know. Like, I feel like that, I'm starting to feel like so many, like, what I realize is, like, as life goes on, like, maybe one of the things that's hard to, like, connect with people that you already know, even, I think, is, like, your relationship can be so dynamic with so many stages and so much baggage, or, you know, or maybe no baggage, but, you know, I think, you know, that it's sometimes it, like, makes the idea of, like, addressing things and, like, just getting to a normal vibe with somebody kind of hard, because there's all this extra stuff, all these experiences you've had together, you know, good and bad, and things maybe I still felt guilty for, or experiences from growing up that, you know, were hard, and, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I don't know. So at least for me, that kind of makes it the connecting with people who have already been in my life and stuff sometimes hard. It's, like, hard to address.
I think, yeah, definitely. I mean, one thing I've been thinking about, it's, like, I know a lot of my connections with people, I try to keep them as positive as possible. I understand that, like, having space for negativity is really important, but it's weird when the world feels like it's just throwing a bunch of bad news at you, like, and you have a lot of your own baggage or whatever it may be. It's hard to bring that up with people and feel like there's a space to just be upset and frustrated. And, like, I think that's been something for me, is just wanting to make sure that when I tell my friends that I'm there for them to just listen to whatever they're going through, like, I also make sure that I'm reminding myself that I can take up that space too and have that for myself. And, like, yeah, it's just, it's tough.
No, for sure. Do you find, this is kind of an interesting question, but do you find that any of that, like, is, like, alleviated or worsened by, like, your career? You know, like, the sense there's so many people, right, that are, like, here for you, you know? Mm-hmm. But it is on a certain level. It's just not the same thing, you know? And it's like, you can't, mm-hmm. you know, it's not the same thing as like, you know, like a friend you grew up with or something like that. But I'm curious, like, how does that like kind of play into it if it does for you?
I think it makes it harder and easier in some ways. I mean, I've definitely kind of dealt with my fair share of conversations with people in my life being like, I can be here for you. You don't need to go seek out going to Twitter to say your every waking thought just yeah. so you can express what you're going through. And
feel that.
I mean, my audience, yeah, it's like, it's horrible. It's really just yeah. self-destructive. But thank God my therapist doesn't check my Twitter.
Oh my God.
There's like, I think a level of comfort that I have with my audience and my listeners of this feeling of like giving people bits and pieces of what I'm going through, because yeah. that feels a lot easier than loading something onto one person. And yeah. It's just like, I think it's hard sometimes to try and figure out, you know, at least for me, I started making music as a way to kind of escape my day-to-day life. And mm-hmm. I wasn't doing it in the purpose of seeking out an audience or anything.
Yeah.
I just got really lucky, I guess, and it happened. But yeah. I mean, my relationship Talent. With my audience has always been very much rooted around, teenage girl trying mm-hmm. to figure out what she's going through in a public atmosphere mm-hmm. and not really bringing that up with the people that she knows and loves. But now being in this position where it's really necessary that I reach out to the people that know me in my day-to-day life yeah. and talk about the things that I'm thinking about and not just process it yeah. and vent it to social media. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel that on so many levels. But maybe before also I get too deep into that, mm-hmm. like, you said that it was really cool, actually, what you just said, where you kind of had this like very specific approach, or not approach, but description for sort of like the world and like your world, you know, as an artist and sort of how you've gotten into it and stuff. And mm-hmm. I'd be curious to hear more just like how, like, yeah, like how your entire career started and all that, and how you got fully into the music and stuff. And yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I am 19 now, and I started releasing my original music when I was 16, so I'm
it's crazy how young you are and how much you're doing. That's amazing. You're killing it.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I'm like really, I just moved out of this house in January and now I'm back in it for quarantine. but yeah, I mean, I started making music. I've always been like the goody two shoes student. I think in high school I really just kind of lived up to everyone's expectations of who I was. Mm-hmm. And I mean, having an anxiety disorder, I filled every waking moment of my time with something to do, because yeah. it felt like if I was just alone with my thoughts, it would be the end of the world.
Yeah.
And I mean, I started making music as a way, I think it was like my rebellious edge. Like I never went to parties. I never did drugs or drank. And like, mm-hmm. for me, it was just silently hiding in the back of my room, making content and artistically expressing myself. And I mean, I was always kind of had that mindset in high school with my friends, and even now, where I didn't want to burden them with whatever I was going through. And so in order to kind of, I guess, air my laundry, it was just to make songs and make stuff that felt like it was explaining my story and whatever I was going through inside of my mind, and then sharing that with the internet, because it felt like it was kind of throwing it into a void, the same way yeah. that when you tweet, it just feels like you're throwing it out into the world yeah. and you don't need to acknowledge it anymore.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, I think like, that mindset carried on for a really long time. And I think probably last year when I started playing live shows and did my like first long tour, I was really able to connect that there were real people behind the numbers and kind of become more conscious of my place as an artist and the influence that I have and platform that I can use to help my listeners kind of, I don't know, to be a person that I looked up to when I was making music yeah. on my own. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's like, it's hard when your story, your narrative is so rooted to such a personal space, like a bedroom, and
yeah.
having a platform that increases and wanting to keep that kind of genuine connection that you have with your listeners, but also knowing that, you know, it's a larger scale now and you have to adjust and figure out new ways of doing things to save yourself at the end of the day.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, I think it's important, as I've struggled with that too, is like, and I think probably every artist struggles with this, is like, mm-hmm. how do you allow yourself to grow and go through a different evolution, like in different stages, while also being like, you know, aware of like, oh, like, why do people originally connect with me? And like, you know, mm-hmm. why do people listen to me? And like, you know what I mean? And I think that can become super toxic and self-limiting. I know for me, it did for a while, where I felt very much like I was very aware of like what my I hate even using this word. And honestly, that was kind of like the whole thing with my album. What I wanted to say is like this sort of like anti-need for a very specific brand, you know, because I feel like in the beginning I was so hyper aware of this like brand I'd created. And I think as I grew and as things changed in my life, you know, because of my career, but also just because I was getting older, I felt like I was stuck in this place. It was like, it's not good for me. And, you know, it's not going to be, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, that's the most important. It's just not good for me. And, you know, and it's like, I can't like be doing what I'm doing based on like, you know, what's going to be good for my audience. I mean, obviously I want to, you know, obviously it's like you don't want to let the people down that, you know, look up to you and that are like supporting you and all that. But it's like, you also like, at least me, like I need to feel like I can like just be myself. And I think that's something I've struggled a lot with is like, as like expectations have gotten greater and greater and like things have grown, is like this sense of being able to feel fully free, you know, which is a weird thing. Cause now I'm like 25 and I'm like, I'm 25. Like, I don't need to be like I'm like well into my adulthood, you know? And like, sometimes I feel like I feel afraid to even like just fully be myself, which is like such a just outrageous and ridiculous feeling. And sometimes I think that might be kind of hard even for my, this is kind of a ramble, but for like my relationships and like in like just, you know, the rest of my life, because like nobody around me is experiencing that, you know, like none of my best friends are experiencing that, and like are kind of just like, why, like what is, you know, they don't really get that sense of like why that would be necessarily a struggle in the same way, you know, because it's just like, you should just do you, like all the time, just do you, do what makes you happy, like, you know what I mean? And such an interesting, yeah, it's just definitely an interesting kind of like struggle, I guess.
No, absolutely. I mean, that was something that was like hard for me. I think even navigating it now, I'm only 2 years out from when I started. But I mean, so much of my story is built around being that little tiny teenager who's making songs and stuff. But I've also progressed past that. And I've grown a lot as a person since even that story started becoming the basis for the MXM Tune brand. I also hate using that word. I think it's really stupid. Like, I think, I mean, it's hard when, I mean, I know for me, trying to remind myself that like, I do have the room to develop as an individual and, you know, express different interests and, you know, become more multifaceted than I originally was when I started making music. Like, you know, I think something that's been helping me is really making sure that I remind myself that I am nothing more than a peer alongside all of my other listeners. And like, I am not ahead of them. I'm not behind them. I'm just learning alongside of them. And to make myself, like it was really hard for me to feel, I think the responsibility that I felt for a lot of these people that listen to my music, I felt like their internet mom, where I was like, I have to be there for their every problem and try and respond as I can to every single message. And it just gets to a point where you can't do that. And I think for me to rework my brain around just thinking, okay, I'm literally 19. Yeah. I have barely a sense of who I am. And like, I should not expect myself to be anything more than what I expect my listeners to be. And so if I can just express that I'm trying to figure this world out just as much as they are, I think that that's helped me with my own patience. And
yeah, like, that's such an interesting thing today too. Like, I think about this sometimes, is like the dynamic of just like an artist. Like, it's like, I don't think like back before like social media and stuff, like I don't think artists were like, oh, like how do I be, you know, like I have a responsibility to be like an example, and I have to be this, and I have to be that, you know what I mean? It's almost just like an artist was an artist, and like people looked up, you know, like respected them, looked up to them, or didn't, they just like their music, you know, whatever it was. And now is there so much of like a, you have such a direct relationship that you have an opportunity to make it something more important. And I think that's really special. But then it also is sort of like, where's the line of like, you know, you doing this because you do it, and not, you know, not getting to the point where you get carried away with like, I have to do these specific things for other people because it's my responsibility now to always do that, you know? And that becomes a crazy responsibility, because on top of you just, you know, trying to live life, be creative, and understanding that what you create at the end of the day was what people got there, you know, it's like they relate to what you're saying, and they relate to the journey, and they, and it helps people, and, you know, as the same way writing it helps you. And but then it's like, on top of that, then you're like, okay, well now I have, like, yeah, like you're saying, like you feel like responsible to like, reply to everything, and like always, you know, and have, it can get really crazy and very overstimulating and very like, oh my God, like, am I doing the right things? And yeah, it's crazy.
It's so crazy. I mean, I think about this a lot, and I get the question too of being like, do you think being an artist is really different than where the music industry was even like 5 years ago. I was like, absolutely. I mean, artists, I think for me, I never dreamed to think of being a musician because it felt so far away. Like it was just something off in the distance that you would have to have all the connections to do it. Both my parents are teachers. Like I was, there was no chance in hell that I was going to ever become a musician. Yeah. It happened, I guess.
So
but
cool.
I mean, it's crazy to me. And I think that audiences really crave that connection and that feeling of genuine friendship with an artist and having that access to all of who they are. But yeah. I mean, I know as a consumer and like a listener of other people, I also really appreciate when artists connect with their audiences on like a deeper level. But as the artist too, I'm like, wow, okay, where is the line and what becomes too much? I think I know for me, I like run into this point where I burn out and then it's too late after that point to like remind myself to come back from that. And it's just been like lots of trial and error.
No, for sure. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting because I almost feel like there's two, I mean, broadly speaking, there's like two schools. Like one is like the artist that's so larger than life that they just don't do any of it. You know what I mean? And people still love them. Like, I feel like, you know, there's still like certain situations like, where there is that kind of a thing. It's like, you look like, I don't know, like an artist like Drake or something. I mean, it's such a broad example, but it's like, there's not that same dynamic whatsoever. You know, just massive artists that people are just like, you're so larger than life, whatever. But then it's like, if you're not that, I feel like it's very much like, you know, everybody has their own dynamic with their audience and like very connected. And I think of like, you know, artists that I like really respect. I think one of the things for me that I love in terms of like a dynamic is like you said, like very much like, appear like, you know, you can be super real, you guys can like poke fun at each other, but you can be really serious, you know what I mean? Like it's like the same, like that, like a friendship, like I think that's really cool.
I feel really lucky. I mean, I think the music industry can be a really lonely place when you're an artist and you lose a lot of connections, especially if you're someone like me who's not really great at keeping them all the time or reaching out to people again.
Yeah.
My listeners have been really, really wonderful in helping me feel like I have a sense of community. I mean, even like during quarantine, I made a Discord server, which is just like a place for all of my audience members, if they find the link for it, to come and like chat with me. Yeah. And in the evenings, I just sit on there and we meme out together. And like, it's been really nice to just have that space where I can be a normal teenager alongside all these other people and just connect with them on a human to human basis. But it's like, it's crazy. It's such like a double-edged sword. Yeah.
The level of like how much vulnerability, like I think what you were saying before, is like learning to share bits and pieces as opposed to everything. Like sometimes I feel like my approach to life, and like I've always been the kind of person that's been very open book, like as long as I can remember, with all my friends. Like I think maybe we're different in that sense, that like I've, even though I wouldn't consider myself a super extroverted person, like meaning I'm not like, oh, like I'm really good at just engaging new people all the time and stuff. But when I'm within like friends, I'm like the person who's always spilling all of my fucking problems. And I know it's so annoying. And I've seen my friends get annoyed, you know, because I'm like, it's like kind of like sometimes to the point where they'll be like, it's always like whatever is going on in your life is like kind of takes over a little bit. And I feel super guilty for that. You know, it just kind of happens. Like I get super anxious about, like, for example, I literally just yesterday I got like test results back, but I literally for over a week thought I had cancer in my neck, like straight up full on. I was like, I was starting to like be like, you know what, this is how I'm gonna have to approach the rest of my life. Like, you know, what's my attitude gonna be? You know what I mean? Like, am I gonna sit there and be the guy who like meditates through it and is like, I'm gonna get this, or am I gonna be the guy that says, fuck it, I'm gonna be drunk every day until I die? Like, you know, like I was like really, really like thinking about it heavily. And, you know, it turned out to be a combination of a few things that were not that, but
not cancer.
Trying to learn, like, I think, that balance of like how much, you know, how much to share, how much not to share. Cause it's like everybody now, I mean, I feel like, you know, you're Gen Z, right? I'm millennial, you're Gen Z. Like, I feel like I always get a sense that like in some way there's an advantage, you know, in terms of like the internet and growing up in Gen Z. Tell me if I'm wrong, but I feel like, like there's an inherent understanding of like how to share and like how to use social media and the internet that feels way more natural than like even me, like, you know, being 25 now, like being a millennial and like trying to figure out, you know, like the natural amount to share. And like, do you know what I mean? I don't know. Does that make any sense?
It's really different, like generationally, and like even 3 years younger than me, if there's someone that's 16, I wouldn't understand the way that they use the internet. And I'm even like watching TikTok now as a 19-year-old. I'm like, I don't understand half the humor that is on this app, and it just phases you out so fast. It's crazy. But Yeah, I mean, I think like the internet is really lovely. I got really lucky because I didn't experience anything horrendously bad online. And I mean, it's also, it's dangerous too. I mean, yeah. I like talk to my boyfriend a lot about it of just, I think it's so easy to get caught up in the kind of whirlwind of feedback and like constant affirmation or anything like that, that you can push a lot of whatever you're dealing with to the side when you're trying to refresh your Twitter feed or whatever it may be.
So, I mean, it's just literally the mechanism of drugs. Like it just is, like it's, you
it's
know what I mean?
It's really
just,
addictive. Yeah.
It's, and I feel like it's almost cliche. I mean, it is cliche to say it, like everyone says it, but it like truly is. And I don't know if like people really grasp that, but I guess at the same time, like humans only have a, I don't know what the number is, but from my understanding, there's like a certain number of like close relationships you can actually maintain at once. Just like your brain can only handle so many, I believe. I don't want to be like saying it's definitely a fact, but Kirk, you should be researching this in the background. I've been told before that it's like, yeah, it's like you can only have so many people, your mind can only handle so many people in terms of like really deep relationship at once. But yeah, so
I mean, it takes a lot of energy to maintain relationships. Like you have to, it's like a lot of focus and a lot of time and commitment and energy to any kind of sort of bond that you want to have with any person. I mean, like one of my closest friendships, like I've known her for half of my life and like we're really, really close friends, but there'll be like 2 weeks where we won't talk to each other and then we'll come back and we'll, you know, message each other and be like, sorry, we're gone and it's fine. But it's just like to get to that point where you can have that level of trust and communication and just being okay with not being there. Like I think it takes a really long time, but I mean, I think as people, because of the internet, we're so conditioned to have these instantaneous interactions and exchanges. Like it's hard to, I know for me, it's been hard to make new interactions with people where it feels like they're sustainable.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they feel like deep enough. Like I think like some of like the loneliness I experience is like at the end of all that, like when I need to step away or like at the end of the day when I'm no longer doing the whole on Twitter, Instagram, blah, 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 talking to this, texting this person. I'm like, oh, like who is like, I don't know, who is like really the person that I go to with something, you know? Because like it's, if you have so many relationships that are kind of like, I think, you know, one of my best friends told me that it always stuck with me is he's like, you know, like real relationships, like a lot of the like friendships that come up on the most random situations where it just so happens like you have a day together, like maybe it's like I don't know, like a friend of a friend and you didn't ever expect to become friends, but you had like a day where you guys weren't really doing anything and you were just chilling and killing time. And in that time of like, you know, the awkward silences and like blah, 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 you have a conversation that just so happens to really connect you guys. And then, you know, and then you see them again and then suddenly they become your best friend. And it's like but it takes a lot of sort of like dead space and sort of just spending time around each other and sort of like chance for it to happen. And I feel like there's like these certain, like that can't necessarily maybe happen in the same way. I don't know. It's just kind of a theory in my head. And so it's sort of like, yeah, it's like, who are the people that you like really have, you know, as opposed to like, oh, I could talk to this person about this or this or this or this person or this person or this person or this person, or this person. You know, it's like, who is like that core? Like, I don't know. I think that's maybe something that I struggle with sometimes, you know?
I haven't thought about it that way. Like, I mean, the internet, it's like you don't really accidentally come across someone in the same way that you would with real life. And like, you really have to make the effort to reach out to the other person if you want to connect with them at all. It's so easy to bypass and ignore so many different aspects of a person or their art or whatever it may be, because it's like the internet is so tailored to what you want it to be. And
for sure,
if that's not talking to someone, then it won't be talking to that person.
Exactly.
And, I mean, yeah, that's crazy. I never thought about it that way. I think it is hard. Like there's a lot of added effort that has to come from you if you want something to manifest. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think like each interaction is sort of more intentional, you know, because as opposed to like, you're not just going to message someone and be like, hey, so like, what's, how are you? You know what I mean? Like as we're in maybe a different situation, like it's like, hey, like what's up? And you have a little conversation and like, you know, if you're like physically with somebody and then it's like, cool, you chill for a bit, whatever, you do your thing. And then the next thing comes up, but that whole time you're together, right? As to where it's like, unless you're like video chatting with somebody, like FaceTiming with somebody, it's sort of like you have an intentional conversation. And once that's done, you guys go back to the seven other things you're also doing at the same time, you know? So it's sort of like a different experience, which I think is really interesting. It's fun just talking about this stuff because I don't actually like really realize it until you start talking about it. It's cool.
I don't either. I don't process anything that's going on in my brain until I like vocalize it.
That's why therapy is so important.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Therapy is so important. I mean, God, I am so thankful for my therapist. Very lucky to have her. So. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. It's like something that I was thinking about. Everything is online now. Like being in quarantine, like that added intentionality that you have to have with your relationships also happens with your friendships now. Like you're not going to run into someone randomly at the grocery store anymore because you go to the grocery store once a week or you order all your groceries online. Like all these sorts of interactions that I think we as humans rely on of just being able to see people in person have been stripped away. And it's so hard to kind of figure out the rules of the world now because the one that we were so adjusted to doesn't exist anymore. Like we're in a totally different circumstance where, I mean, the rules just have shifted drastically. And I mean, I know I'm struggling with trying to figure out how this is going to work for me. And, and like that, even that extra energy that I have to put into reaching out to people is really hard. And I couldn't tell you why it's so difficult, but it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's interesting. I feel like we've spoken about so many, like the kind of, I don't want to say negative sides of all the internet stuff, but maybe somewhat negative. I'm curious, like what have you found has been like the positives of kind of like this time in terms of like, you know, connecting with people and the internet? Yeah, like how that's kind of been, yeah, I guess maybe the more positive aspects for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the same way that it's like, you know, finding that balance between how much you give away and how much you keep to yourself at the end of the day when you put yourself online. I think for me, it can feel really isolating and lonely when you're like sitting in quarantine and you don't know where to go. And I feel really thankful that the internet has given me the space to provide spaces for other people to connect with each other. Like
that's cool.
Whether that be like a live stream or a chat channel or whatever it may be. Like, I think, I mean, I know that it's not my place to necessarily insert myself into people's lives all the time, but if I can be someone who can help encourage other people to reach out to one another, because I know that it can be really scary and lonely when we're trying to face this a worldwide pandemic. Like no one knows how we're supposed to deal with this. And so if I can help make a space as an artist for people to at least talk about what they're going through or play a video game together, like that feels really, I feel really lucky that I'm able to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I feel like I've had so many situations, or not so many, but I've had some situations where I think about like relationships that for one reason or another were so strong at one point in my life, but then just kind of either you had a falling out or you just naturally maybe kind of grew in different directions or you moved away, or because I moved around, you know, a lot growing up. So that's definitely one for me. I'm curious if you've had like experiences like that, and is that something, you know, you think about and like, you know, like have you had opportunities to kind of reconnect with those people and, you know, what has navigating that kind of stuff been like for you?
I mean, I think my falling out and stuff have probably been just like being too afraid to tell people when I'm sad. Like it's just, I think opposed to you, maybe I shut down really easily when I'm kind of going through something negative, and I like hermit inside of this space and like watch TV for hours on end and just kind of like shut myself off from the world. And I think that's been something that I've tried to become more aware of, because I've lost relationships from just like not kind of negligence, almost, of just not maintaining them and just not communicating necessarily how I was doing.
Yeah.
And so that's been something that I've become like hyper aware of as I've gotten a little bit older and continued to grow and learn. But I mean, I think like it's like growing a plant. Like you have to make sure you give it enough water and enough sunshine. And if you don't, then it won't do very well, but it can be forgiving sometimes. Yeah.
Are you a person, are you a patient person or no?
I would say I'm patient in some ways, but most of the times, no.
Same. When you say watering a plant, I'm like, yo, watering a plant, like things that take patience give me so much anxiety. I'll be so real.
I killed a succulent because I gave it too much water, and I feel like that's a very good explanation. I think I put too much love into things sometimes, and I kill them.
Well, see, that's beautiful. It's much better than I think me. I think I, you know, I have all these like plants in my house that, well, I guess they've been here, to be fair, from the previous owner. And like if I didn't have like a system that waters them, they would not be being taken care of at all. Like stuff gives me so much anxiety for some reason, like things that require patience, which I think is not good in terms of maintaining relationships, you know, because it's like there's a lot of steps, you know, it's just not immediate all the time. You know, it's like you can't expect a best friendship to always feel like a best friendship if you're not putting consistent time into it, you know? And that's something I have to remind myself time and time again, you know, is just like, it's like, oh, I feel lonely. Well, maybe you're the cause of your own loneliness because you're not really maintaining, you know, these friendships.
I think about that all the time. I'm like, I hate that there's a middle part to everything. Like you have to go through a process of doing something until it gets to the point that you want it to be at. Yeah. I get so frustrated by that. I'm like, what do you mean I have to put in the work? What do you mean? Like for art, I'm like, what do you mean I have to write music in order to have music? Like, it's so frustrating to me, but like, that's part of life.
Yeah. are you good at embracing like the journey part, or are you very much like, you kind of like want these like results, like specific results and stuff?
I hate the journey.
Yeah.
I love the destination. Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. I'm curious. This is also kind of unrelated. Okay, in terms of like TikTok, because I'm trying to get like much better at TikTok. I'm trying to find my own style. This shit is hard for me.
You're doing great. It's just screaming at the camera. It's perfect.
I just do weird shit. And like one in like 10 or something actually kind of hit. But in terms of you, are you like, do you already have like the final product in mind and you're doing that? Or is it something you're just like kind of improvising? And you're like, I just want to do something and you just do it and try it? Or is like, what is your...
I think most of the time I just kind of have an idea in my mind of what I want it to be like, but then there are videos where I'm just like, there's nothing that I have ever planned for this. Like I did a video yesterday where I really liked an audio of a song and my cat was there, and so I just started dancing with my cat. It's like 42,000 likes. I don't understand what things go viral, and like there's one that I did today where I saw this stop motion video of a toad and I just thought it was funny. And so like I picked up my phone and tried to do stop motion to myself, like just really stupid ideas.
I love it.
And I think like it, I mean, I don't know. I feel like it just make content. It's really hard to explain. Like, I think this goes back to the generational thing, maybe like being Gen Z, I guess, or Gen X. Gen Z. God, mm-hmm. I'm stupid. I think like, I don't know. In ways, I'm a little bit tapped into like the kinds of content that I think people want to see.
Yeah.
But it's also hard. It's like hard to verbalize what that might be. Like, I think I just really base it off of like, do I find this funny?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I post it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sadly, my sense of humor is mostly highly inaccessible.
Sense of humor really doesn't make sense. And I'm astounded that people find it funny occasionally. So yeah.
I'm jealous. It's like, yeah. Oh, man.
You're funny though. I like your TikToks. Don't worry.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You have one fan. Yeah.
Damn. Just one. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
That was super fun. Yeah. Thank you. Like seriously, like I really mean that. Like it's that was really, really cool to connect with you on like this like really real shit. And and I wish the best, you know, for you and all the dealing with just that, the kind of feelings of isolation and stuff. I know that, you know, is really tough. And not that this really means anything because you have people that you're actually close to in your life. But if you ever need someone else to like talk to or vent to, like I'm straight up always here, and we'll listen and we'll shoot the shit about anything whatsoever. So
wonderful. This is like an amazing conversation. I like love having this type of chat with someone. So thank you.
Hell yeah. No, of course. Vibes.
All right, cool.
All right.
Take care, you guys.
Much love. Take care.